This is Kristen Sippy with Empower Her Podcast. On today, before we get started, I want to just kind of give a moment of silence for Mr. Brian and his family and those who was affected by the helicopter crash that happened on yesterday. Thank you. Also, I want to kind of just refer anybody who's maybe triggered by the situation or just have any type of feeling, because it's important to also recognize that death is kind of one of those situations that either awaken a lot of things that we may be suffering or maybe thinking about, you know, any contemplations or just anything, because it's a lot of healing that needs to take place. So with that, I want to kind of leave some numbers with y'all. We have the crisis hotline number, which is 877-210-8513. The NAMI hotline, 800-950-6264. And the suicide hotline, 1-800-273-8255. Please use those numbers or pass that information on. It's very important because, again, death is just one of those situations that pretty much kind of awaken a lot of things in our lives, and it's just a lot to think about. And then not only this incident, but just there's so much just going on in today's society. So many worries, so many just things that's beyond our control. And, you know, if one thing we can't control is our mental health. So if you could just utilize those numbers and try to, you know, get someone else some help that may need it. You know, maybe not yourself, but someone else that's in need of help as well. So let's go on and get started with the episode. Today I have Katora the Voice Hughes.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. So Katora, could you introduce yourself in any way that you would like?
Certainly. My name is Katora Hughes, aka The Voice, poetically known. And Hugh, I'm known as the Purple Queen. It is my favorite color. And so I have dubbed myself as the Queen of Such, and I adore all shades and forms and fashion.
Okay, awesome. And it's great you had talked about being the Purple Queen, because of course today theme is called Conquer Her. And, you know, I just would like for you to kind of explain a little further, other than it being your favorite color, why else are you called you call yourself the Purple Queen?
Well, I'm actually quite unique. I was diagnosed at 17 with lupus, and the mascot for lupus is a butterfly, and its color is purple. And it is Lupus Awareness Month is celebrated in May. And so if you see people usually wearing the purple ribbon, that's one of the things that they're representing is lupus women and men who recently been diagnosed, but are survivors daily fighting for that illness.
Absolutely, absolutely. Could you care to educate our listeners on lupus and the myth around the illness?
Yes, so a lot of people think that lupus is a type of cold or infection that just comes in the body and goes, but particularly is actually an autoimmune deficiency, which means your immune system is not working to its proper capacity to support you against the common colds and infections. So partial truth there, but not wholehearted. It's very easy to get sick. It's very easy to be crippled by this illness as far as the pain and just the daily routines that are norms for you now become a struggle when your immune system is not functioning at its highest capacity. I am a teacher, and so oftentimes I find myself struggling just to do what I've been paid to do, which is to teach, standing on my feet all day, you know, something that comes natural, but now becomes a strain, and so I have to time and pace myself. Right, and I'm still quite young, mind you. So this is something that is reality for me, that I have to go at my own pace and not underestimate this illness and how it may flare up.
Gotcha, which is amazing. Because, you know, one of the things is that, ironically, like I told you before we first chatted, I was like, I called the episode Conquer I don't know where it came from. Might have been one of those godsend situations. And you decided to choose, you know, you chose this date to meet. And I'm like, oh. And when you said it, I was like, it all came together. So you're a conqueror within itself. You're fighting this disease. You're doing a lot of things. You're not letting it stop you from getting where you have to go. You're a teacher, which is amazing. You're working with kids. And then you have a artistic side where you're singing, you're doing poetry and so many different things. So that's empowering within itself. And maybe our listeners could take that and just realize that no matter what's going on, you still have to move forward.
Oh,
you
certainly.
Still have to do, you know, the things that you always love to do, no matter what's going on inside. Because even, you know, one of the, I guess, interesting thing is that people automatically assume if you're hurt on the inside, that the outside, it has to look like it's hurt. It has to look damaged.
Yeah.
It has to look beat up. And that's not.
No, that's not true. We're people who tend to live by what we see. And so if we don't see it, there's no evidence of it occurring on the inside, right? Oh, you don't look sick. You don't sound sick, right? I haven't told you that I feel sick. So the ways in which you readily identify sickness mm-hmm. is not there. So it's hard to believe or to grasp, right? When you say, hey, I really don't feel well. You know, I found myself hanging out with my friends sometimes and I was just like, hey, girl, you know, let's rain check this. You know, I thought mm-hmm. I was going to be able to make it, but I'm really struggling today. Or things that are norms for me, like I said, just, you know, getting dressed, doing my hair, taking the time to look fancy, you know, and just not having the strength to do it. Going shopping, trying on clothes, and just not having the strength to do it. Needing to take naps, right? Needing to get that extra rest in. And it just slows you down and it makes you feel like, man, what have I become, right, at this age? And you look at your life from where you were to where you are, right? Coming out of high school, being super active in high school, playing sports, community service, ROTC, you name it. And I was active in my church too.
Wow.
So constantly on the forefront, on the scene, being involved in things that now I'm having to take a seat, right? And kind of slow down and pick and choose what I really want to be involved with because my energy is not the same. So it was a struggle and I felt defeated at one point. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I feel like every real conqueror has to have a moment where they question, do they have what it takes to persevere, right? Why has this particular battle been given to me?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that there's a higher power and you seek God for that strength and knowing that he gives his toughest battles to his toughest warriors concept, right? Then you also have to know that he's giving you the measure of faith to execute that. Wholeheartedly, without even, you know, drawing back. And so in that moment, it really is a test of faith. Like, okay, God, this does not catch you by surprise.
Yes.
You created me, and this is so that you continue to get all the glory from me, right? So I need to put all of my gifts before you and let you guide my path and let you tell me how I will conquer this, how I will persevere, and how you'll still get glory out of my life. And so that was a turning point for me, being able to do that and say that, you know what, I'm not going to look like what I've been through.
Yes.
I'm going to be in a position that allows me to still flourish, that allows me to still walk in favor because his grace covers me, right?
Yes.
And I keep my driver's license ID as proof of what I've been through so that I stay humble, so that I don't forget that I am more than a conqueror, which is what God says we all are.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. That is a testimony.
It is. Early on, because you never know. I mean, life catches us all at a very vulnerable moment, I'll say, when we're caught up in the hype of what we're doing, right?
Yes.
It could be starting a new job. It could be a new relationship. It can even be as simple as going to college, right? And you're so focused on all of the potential and the possibilities that you forget to almost be present.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's like adrenaline. It's just overwhelming. And then you get caught up in that hype and it's easy to lose focus. And then it becomes all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All about me and what mm-hmm. I can do. And now it's me. And selfishly, it starts to show up little by little
mm-hmm.
until you feel displaced. And then when life happens to you,
mm-hmm. it reels it on back.
Okay. It reels it on back. And now you're like, oh, where's God? Mm-hmm. Right? Where's God? Where's the covering?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's really just his way of, again, checking us spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, don't rush me,
mm-hmm.
right? And we get ahead because we get excited. There's nothing wrong with getting excited, but we also have to be intentional.
Yes.
Because our ways are not his ways.
Yes.
And if he is to get the glory, then it cannot be self-centered. When you give, when you do, when you sow into people, it cannot come from a place of self.
Mm-hmm.
You can give of yourself,
mm-hmm.
but it cannot be a selfish attitude. It has to be for the greater purpose that I'm blessing you mm-hmm. and you're going to bless somebody else. And it's just like a ripple effect. It keeps going so that we're all becoming conquerors in yes. our own walk of faith.
Yes. Yes. It almost reminds me of the meme that people have been kind of posting. Don't feed me if you're going to brag about feed me.
Okay.
don't do it for me if you're mm-hmm. going to, you know.
Don't help me if you got to tell everybody you helped me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like my grandma always say, hey, don't do something for me. You're going to wash my face with it. Don't do that. You know, if you're going to do it for me, do it out of the kindness of your heart.
Right.
And I think a lot of times people forget a lot of those sayings when they're going through stuff. When you've reached a certain level in life, people think that it's not like it's no other higher than that.
Mm.
Well, he is the highest. So we ain't up there.
Yes.
We're not up there. Yeah. I used to tell kids all the time, perfection, once you've reached perfection, you're dead. You're dead. That's
right. It's an end all, be all. Yeah. and really, I think that's insatiable at that moment, too, because mm-hmm. now it's like, what else is there to fulfill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can attest from a personal standpoint. If I had known that there was more to life than being a wife and a mother someday,
mm-hmm.
I would have rerouted my path because that was my focal point, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's very admirable to want what has been instilled in you as a good thing,
mm-hmm.
as what success looks like, right? And a lot of times we, you know, kind of bite back at our parents for how they're rearing us or raising us because now we're an adult and life looks a lot different than the way they painted it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like your false yeah. advertisement. You lied.
Want my money back.
Right? But really, we also have to have a forgiving mindset and understand mm-hmm. that, for one, our parents are healing from a childhood experience, too.
Yes.
That nobody was there to rectify, right?
Yes.
That they, too, learned that the world looked a lot different than how their parents painted it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are now in that same space where the world looks a lot different than how it's been painted for us.
Yes.
But they've just raised us to the best that they know how. And so times are changing, so you adjust. So you take what you've learned,
mm-hmm.
but life is going to give you the rest of what you have to learn. And mm-hmm. then you find your ground, and that's where you get deeply rooted. Right?
Yes.
But if your source is not based on the strength of something more than self, it's hard to take root and grow.
It'll be just as fragile, all out of the way.
All over the place, scattered. So had I known that it's okay, you know, because we're people who pride ourselves on giving our kids affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had been told, hey, it's okay if you want to be this, that, and the third, instead of having a one-track mind, mm-hmm. one goal, one focus. And that way, if I should pursue and come up short in life and don't make it, I don't feel like a failure
mm-hmm.
because that was my only pursuit. No, mm-hmm. no. Now we're instilling in our children a plethora of ideas
mm-hmm.
that says success is aligned to me no matter what direction I choose. If I have the open mindset that if I pursue, right, and that I leave myself with that growth mindset to be open towards opportunities because they're not just given, they're self-made.
Yes.
Right? So you have to be intentional about that. But we've chosen to tell our kids, oh, go to school, get married, have kids, like it was a formula of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been at that time, but we're looking at a totally different generation of children who are looking for something real. The buy-in is completely different now.
Absolutely.
Right? They're looking for something more tangible, something that speaks directly to them that they can relate to. And so they're looking for not only that conversation piece, but they're looking for examples. people that look like them, people that can say, hey, I've been there, I've done that. And so I'm glad now that somebody told me in my young adult life, somebody told me, hey, it's okay that your marriage didn't work out. It's okay that your second marriage didn't work out. It's okay that you chose to love a woman. It's okay that you chose to step outside of the church and you found your way back, or you found another avenue that led you back to God anyway. It's okay because you didn't give up. That is the root of a conqueror, a person who doesn't give up, a person who is so desperate for truth and relevance that they know they're worth as many times as it takes until they get it right. A conqueror has never been defeated just flesh alone. It's a spiritual context.
Yes.
And I feel like really it's more of a spiritual context than any, because the flesh is so easy. Like, you can give in, oh, I'm not going to drink tonight, and you end up drinking. Or I'm not going to go to this place tonight because, you know, my friends are asking me to go, but it's really not my thing. No, the moment that you can spiritually be disciplined and say, you know what, I need to be prayed up more. You know what? I need to exercise my faith more. You know what? I need to stand my ground and say, hey, it's okay for me to say no instead of being a yes person. Because the minute you put self first, self-love, self-care, and trust God to do the rest, we're better off. That's when we really start to grow. That's when we really start to conquer things in every aspect of our life, because we're not just so vulnerable. Yes. Giving up space, we stand in that space and own it. We're not so easily persuaded to turn from a path that's hard, even if we're passionate about it, even if our dreams are leading us this way. Everything isn't built overnight. But if you stay the course, you'll find that there are people already aligned to support you. You'll find that it's more gratifying to get it for yourself versus always wanting a relationship to be a part of that plan. Sometimes you can't flourish until you are really centered in who you are. And we often get caught up socially with the expectation of what people expect us to be.
Yes.
And even as a teacher, I find myself constantly trying to remind my kids as much as I can, like, hey, you know what? I have expectations of you. Your parents have expectations of you. But what do you expect of you? How are you going to show up for you today? How are you going to prosper today? How are you going to refocus and press your way through this grade level? Because you have so far to go. This is only fifth grade, or this is only fourth grade. But it's okay for you to have expectations now. And if they change, that's also okay. Our kids almost are at a point now where they're afraid to dream out loud. They're afraid to share their interests openly. They're afraid to connect with people who are different because they're not secure in who they are. But different is good. Serena Williams said that. Different is good.
Yeah.
Right? So if we teach them, or if we create environments that say different is good.
Yes.
And this is what it looks like, then guess what else happens? Chrissy, now people start to see not only is different good, but different also means that there's a different conqueror. In every phase. So this conqueror is not going to look like me as a conqueror. For one, the battles are different. The battles are completely different.
The scars are different,
too. The scars are different, too. And so the healing will be different. Right? So we could have the same experience, but depending on how deep that situation went, the deeper the growth. So to be at this point in my life now at 32, I can say, been married twice, no children, and I'm not where I thought I would be. In fact, I'm a lot further than I thought I would be because I didn't give up on me. Because I had people willing to invest in me and push me, right? Literally pray until something happens while waiting for me to show up for myself.
Yes.
What great is a team if the star player isn't a part of the game, right? It's hard to support that because you've got everybody believing in you except you believe in yourself. Right? I had a friend tell me once before, you know, God believes the best of the best of the mess. God believes the best of the best of the mess. And it's almost a statement that kind of contradicts itself, because God doesn't make mess, right? So hence why he believes the best of the best of the mess. But we're conscious of who we are and our shortcomings. We're becoming more aware that you can't cheat God. At some point, you've got to have reconciliation and say, Lord, this is bigger than me. But if I want to conquer anything, I've got to do it with you. And so when you start to take things into context and simplify it, just put them first. Whatever it is that you want to do, even if you're unsure, put him first. After you do that, it's going to line up. Because no matter what you choose to do, I guarantee you there's a battle there. Whether a personal one, one from your past, or one that you can't even conjure up, but it's coming all because you're now in a position that you want to pursue that gift that's inside of you. Because everybody's got one. And our kids, we have to model that for them. We model everything else. So yes, as a teacher, I take it personal, my job, that, you know, although it's challenging and it has its rigor, I'm a first example on a daily basis of what it means to conquer this life, to stand and have a presence of character and integrity, to own up to my mistakes if I make it, to exemplify to them, nobody's perfect. Yes. We're not asking you to be. We're asking you to keep trying. We're asking you not to give up on you. Yes. Right? And I don't know all the demographics. I don't know all the backgrounds that our different students come from. But they come to me daily. And so if they don't know anything else, they know here's an adult who hasn't given up on me, who shows up every day, who invests every day, who forgives every day, who renews her patience somehow every day, that energy somehow every day. And they've witnessed me not feeling well. Days when I'm not there, they're concerned because they know what lupus is and they've seen how it affects. But the days that I'm there and I'm 110, they're all in. And that is the most rewarding part of what I do as a teacher, as a mentor in the community, being asked to be on different programs, sharing my poetry, letting people hear me, whether young at heart or the youth itself. I find that there's pieces that fit and it all comes together. And so when you see how what was meant to hinder you now blossom and become bigger than you and start tying these pieces together, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's like, oh, okay. So how people say the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you, I say the conqueror in me can see the conqueror in you.
Yes, indeed.
Because our kids are facing a lot to be kids nowadays. They are facing a lot. They don't get to be kids anymore, hardly.
Yeah. A lot of them are kind of, a lot of them are in cases where they're raising themselves. Or they're raising their siblings.
Yeah.
I was kind of talking with someone yesterday, and I was like, it's kind of interesting. The girls are growing up a little bit faster. They're, you know, of course we're raised to become nurturers, but a lot of them are becoming nurturers very fast. They're a big sister to somebody. They got somebody to look up to. They have to change diapers. They're having to, you know, cook food. They're having
to be just play babysit. Time.
Yeah. So it's
play
like
pretend, and it's no longer pretend. It's their real sibling.
So it's kind of like, you know, once they get 16, 17, it kind of puts me in the perspective of the young lady in I Could Do Bad by All By Myself. When she said, when am I going to be able to be a teenager? When am I going to be able to do the things that teenagers can do? I felt that because it's kind of like, and I don't have any siblings, but I felt it because it kind of puts you in the mindset of seeing young girls actually being the mother. They're mother junior, basically. Junior mother. They're, you know, they don't have a life. They don't have the luxury of just getting up and saying, look, I want to go with my friends. Can't go with your friends. You gotta watch your two sisters or your brother and your sister. They don't have the opportunity to go on dates.
Right.
Learn what, you know, love really is, you know, in its own little way. Of course, I'm going to put a disclaimer on that. But they're not able to see it for what it is. So basically, when they go to college, they're learning everything that they missed out on.
Right.
When they was in high school. And of course, I understand, yes, parents, I get it. Y'all work. You work hard and everything. But let's take a moment to just recognize that, like, hey, it's nothing to give your Saturday.
Yeah.
To your kids. Mm-hmm. Rest up on Friday night. But Saturday and Sunday, give it to your kids.
Yeah.
It, you know, whatever off day you got.
Create that normalcy for them.
Correct.
Where they're a child. And it stems with behavior, too, because that's mm-hmm. really where it comes in. Is that, you know, at home, I'm an adult. But at school, I'm told I'm a child.
Yes.
You know, and so it's a conflict of interest because that's not something that's easily turned off and on.
Yes.
And so we have to set the standard and have the best intentions in showing our kids how to conquer everything. Everything. As a teacher, you model everything for them. So don't just say to me what you expect. Show me what you expect.
Yes.
And so I'm constantly finding myself redirecting my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a better choice. No, thank you. That's not okay. Inappropriate. Try again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a negative. Let's give a positive.
Yes.
And so the manner in which I speak to them, for one, is rare. Because no one's talking to them like that.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. No one's talking to them like that. People talking to them are either talking at them, yelling, attitude, or ignoring, not even acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're with me majority of the day, 7 and 3. And here I get to instill daily, 10 months out of the year, how to be the best version of themselves and conquer everything that's coming against them as a student. And that's why we have to look at the whole student. Right? Mm-hmm. Not just the letter grade, not just the test score, but the whole child that's coming to me, whether broken or whole, whether, you know, still figuring out who they are, what they're interested in, struggling to make friends, all of that. You're more than just a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You are their hero on so many levels because they talk to you about everything that they wouldn't readily talk to anyone else about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm constantly telling them, this is how you conquer, by being self-controlled.
Yes.
By responding to things that are worth your time.
Yes.
By putting yourself first academically and respectfully.
Yes.
You may not agree and you can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That there doesn't have to be overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to react. You can respond and there's a difference. And showing them what the difference is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teachers, I think, would be like, you know, oh, that sounds great. That's amazing. But in this particular district, right? Or that sounds great and I feel you, but ain't nobody got time for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make the time for that.
Yes.
Because what's happening is our students are being conquered instead of being conquerors.
Yes.
Because no one has taken the time to show them that, hey, life is going to happen and a lot of things in life will happen outside of your control because you are a child.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you are supporting at home by taking care of your younger siblings or whatnot, you're still just a child.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice that they have is limited.
Mm-hmm.
The rights that they have or the choices that they have are limited. And so that's why I execute a free environment in my classroom where they can choose their style of learning, where they can work with a partner who's probably a little better at this particular skill set we're trying to learn and master.
Mm-hmm.
I let them have free range as to where they want to sit, where they think they'll be productive today.
Mm-hmm.
Because life changes around them.
Mm-hmm.
It will not always be an assigned seat for you. You have to own your space, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will not always be an assignment that's catered to your way of learning. So you have to own the way in which you learn, but also be flexible to learning other methods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not spoiling them, for lack of better words, but it's letting them know that you can hone into how you learn, but there are other ways to learn. And in the real world, you have to learn to collaborate with others and their way of learning. And that's where group work comes in and having Socratic circles and open discussion so that you can learn to establish a voice and talk to each other. Because in turn, when it comes to relationships, that's also teaching you how to talk to a person. Did you ask him for a sheet of paper or did you tell him you need a sheet of paper?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're given the response that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
So just those small interactions I've found over the years, and this is only my 6 year of teaching, has really just continued to teach me what it means to be a conqueror, right? All of my work is not in vain. The way that I take care of myself and my health is not in vain. learning new ways of what that looks like, a healthy lifestyle for me, new teaching methodologies in my classroom, new styles of writing so that I'm reaching a different audience. All of that is just continuing the work of being a conqueror. If the battles continue to change, then who are we to be stagnant in that growth?
That's a word. That is a word. This conversation is getting so good, but I'm going to take a brief little break. I just kind of want to add this in here. Research from the Lupus Foundation of America states that while anyone can develop lupus, 90% of people with lupus are women. Which is that was a very, very interesting fact.
That's very true. My mom has lupus, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm the only girl, the baby, two older brothers. But my mom, I found out, has had lupus as long as she's had me.
Wow.
And so when I got diagnosed, she kind of felt some type of way because she's like, you know, it's my fault. You know, this is hereditary kind of thing. But yeah, it's majority women. And it's no respect of color or creed or religion. If you're a woman, you definitely need to check yourself regularly and just ask your doctor to test you for it, you know, to make sure you may be the first in your family and it becomes hereditary from there.
Wow. So, okay. That's a very interesting fact. Let's take a break, okay? All right, we'll be right back. And we're back. You know, kind of want to just kind of change up the topic now. Of course, we've been talking about conquerors, and we've been pretty much talking about how, like, our lives are basically destined in its own little way. It's just that some things are beyond our control. It just depends on how we kind of handle it. But of course, we're given, you know, different capabilities that others may have, but it's only special to us in some cases, while others is kind of one of those things that we might have to kind of take a little bit of time to kind of learn or study or begin to develop over time, which is amazing. But talking back on Mr. Bryant, you know, Kobe was great on and off the court, and one of the things that he said, which is a video, ironically, it's on the Instagram page. He stated that the greatest fear we face is ourselves. And I want to say that's very true, because a lot of times we think about, you know, the what ifs. What if I don't make it? What if this changed my viewpoint on life? What if this began to change the viewpoint of people around me? We begin to think about, can I actually do it? Of course, I may have all the degrees in the world, but maybe this exam might determine my fate. A lot of things coming from within, there are a lot of internal thoughts outside of the external. Of course, it's obvious. Yeah, of course, it's obvious that we can study, we can work hard, we can play hard, we can do all the things we want to do. Of course, that's tangible, but the intangibles is what goes on in the mind. And
very much true.
It's like, you know, I guess looking back on the things that he did and just realizing, like, he's a legend, of course. And, you know, people think that, oh, you know, legends don't have moments where they kind of begin to self-doubt. But everybody that's human, that's breathing on this earth, has some form of doubt that may run through their minds. It's just how they challenge the self-doubt.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. I think, honestly, that's the part that keeps us humble, right, is the fact that we do have a measure of self-doubt. That's what keeps you in check and aligned so that you don't get ahead of yourself, or rather, you don't get ahead of God, as I mentioned before. It is true that we're our worst critic. You know, self-defeat is
yes.
real. And it comes with a price if you feed into it. But I think the greatest fear is the fear of the unknown. right? And we let our mind race with that. We let it get away from us, and it's hard to draw it back to center and become grounded in everything that we are and confident in everything that we're not. And so I once read that success for kings and queens are not made in one step, right? It's not made in one step. It's made in strides. And if you think about it, strides are multiple steps at one time.
Yes.
Right? So the fact that it's a continuum, which is the same as growth, a continuum. It is a never-ending journey of learning and experiences and exposure, which become wisdom, right? And so with the grace that God gives us, you know, the covering to pursue our happiness, to pursue our successes or whatever we're drawn to do and set our intentions about, there is some fear. Mm-hmm. But are we capable? But it's not within our own right. So we have to redirect that question, is God able? And he is.
Yes. Yes. That is absolutely true. You know, it, like, you know, we mentioned earlier, sometimes we kind of go through things and you might have to go back to the higher being to say, hey, look, I thought that I could do all this by myself and I forgot that it's not, you know, I can do all things through myself that strengthens me. It's I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So it's not self-imposed.
No, no. But it's easy to get caught up. You know, it's easy to almost without even noticing that that's now the space and the light that you're walking in, right, of your own strength and abilities. It's just like my students, you know, they've been with me now half the school year. We've got 3 months before we're out. And a lot of them are just now starting to struggle with the curriculum, right? Who at the beginning were probably soaring, they were on point, minor mistakes, you know, but now they're making actual mistakes. Now it's starting to show on their work, you know, that there's a lot of markings and, you know, points off of this and that. And so I had a student say, this is like being so hard. Why are you being so hard on us? This is a lot of work, this is a lot of reading, this is. But to whom much is given, much is required. And honestly,
yes.
Who am I to give them anything less than a challenging curriculum that, you know, that rigor that brings out the best in them? I want to push you. I'm designed to push you because I have expectations of you, right? And they too have expectations. And so when both efforts meet in the middle, oh, that's a great accomplishment. Because now you've instilled in me the integrity that I stand for. And I have reciprocated the same to you, the integrity that you can now stand for, the confidence that you can now have as a scholar, saying that though this is hard, I persevered. Though this was challenging, I worked it out, I worked through it. That growth mindset, you know, that you can grow into things and not be defeated. That victory doesn't come in a single moment. It comes with the solitude of moments that, you know, last a lifetime when you reflect back on something that was hard.
Yes.
Because if you gave up, you let fear win. And that's not being a conqueror. Being a conqueror is getting up every day, deciding that you're going to continue to do the work.
Yes.
And it is work.
Yes. It's, you know, everything, and, you know, that's one of the things about today's society. You know, people say, hey, people make things look easy. You know, you don't look like what you've been through. You make it look real easy. Well, the thing is, it may look easy, but the challenge was already, it was already present. It's just that we were given with different traits to make it through. So,
indeed.
I guess it's just amazing to look at someone's life, you know, and we also look at our own lives and how, it, you know, a lot of people saying to have the Black Mamba mentality when we don't even have to dub it that. We could dub it our own name.
Mm-hmm. Right, to have the be you mentality, to have the you're enough mentality, to have the this is my dream and I'm going for it mentality, to give yourself permission, your own affirmations, your own confirmations, and let God's word be enough when he says go, or when he says come, or when he says yes, or when he says not yet, that your plan and his are one and the same, and it's still on the works.
Yes.
And so that's the joy in knowing that, hey, regardless of what the naysayers, the haters, family who can be so crucial and hurtful sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Friends that we thought were forever, that his intentions about us never change. God's intentions about us never change. And so no matter who you've been in a relationship with, you know, what you've done, what you failed to do, right? When people weren't ready to support you, but you weren't ready for you yet, right?
Yes.
Those moments are pivotal points in your life that made you feel like, hey, I don't know if I can do this, right? I'm afraid. And it's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to stay afraid.
Yes.
Because you are destined for greatness. And that is where the fear is coming from, because you know it. You're not sure how it's going to come about, but you know that. And it's easier to give in to the fear than to actually surpass it. So you have to have a focused mind and a renewed mind every day that I'm going to put in the work. I'm worth the work. I'm worth
yes.
Whatever my dreams take me, in whatever direction, I'm worth whatever it requires of me to get there. You know, and I will get there. You know, social media allows so much fluidity.
Yes.
For us to become somebody else's dream, somebody else's goals, and then want to personify it as ours. But it's not. Those are their goals, and that's what their goals look like. And you can be happy for them, but it should inspire you to create your own authentic goals for you.
Exactly.
So that you can authentically say, I conquered this. Like, I overcame that. I surpassed this. I'm above that now.
Right? Yes.
Because our journeys will never be the same. They may align, they may intersect, but they'll never be the same. And so a true conqueror does not dismiss any of their defeats, any moments where they settled, any moments where they lacked the confidence to go and they stood still. In fact, I encourage you to stand still, because where you stand is a place that somebody else is trying to get to. So to see you standing there, it's affirmation for them.
Absolutely.
We'll get there. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you know, it's just inspiring, you know, so many people today, you know, not just his death, not just other celebrities that have passed away, not just the living celebrities that are doing great things, but there's people in our communities that are really, you know, making those strides towards helping others, towards their correct, towards their academic achievements, towards, you know, work in areas that we don't find, you know, individuals may not call useful, or they may feel like, well, why is that important? Well, it's important to somebody.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, everybody is inspiring somebody somewhere, some type of way. And I'm hoping that our listeners, you know, take the moment to just kind of analyze where you are. Now, of course, you might not be where you say you want to be, but the fact that you're recognizing that you are trying to make those strides is actually one step forward than somebody else. Because some people are just still just sitting there trying to figure out where they want to be. Not where they are, not where they could be, but trying to figure out where they, like, just literally in the planning stages and not in the implementation stages.
I'm not lost. That's one of the famous quotes that's out there. And I get it now that I'm older. You know, I always knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a teacher, you know, but I didn't realize until I got older that there's a method to the madness. There's a multitude of ways to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in different forms and looks in you know, shows up in different atmospheres of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But to just have that one-track mind that, oh, I'm going to be a teacher, that means I need to be in somebody's school, right? I need to be mm-hmm. in my own classroom up front running the show. Not necessarily so. I could be a consultant for education. I could mm-hmm. be a teacher in my church, mentoring a program or running some after-school program. There's different ways to teach.
You absolutely.
Know, it could be a leadership conference. It could be anything. So we have this skewed view of one-way thinking, but it's really, you know, limiting us. We call it focusing in or honing in on what it is that we're trying to do, but there's a research piece there that mm-hmm. we should take a hold of to see what different avenues it leads us to. You know, we don't have to settle for this one way of living forever.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us are sitting on a lot of gifts that we're not aware of. Hidden talents, God-given talents that can be used to, you know, feed the dream, right? You have mm-hmm. a 9-to-5 and it feeds the dream until you manifest it into a pocket. So
mm-hmm.
I want our listeners to really understand that conqueror, covers all aspects of your life, whether it's personal, your spiritual, your faith, right, your health, your success, your mental well-being, and just all that you are as a person, conquering the you that you want to become and not settling for the you that you are now. Those who are still searching, trying to figure it out, that's okay, because that means you haven't given up. The
yes.
fact that you're still open to the ideas or open to the different interests that could exist for you, right? You're worth finding all of that out.
Yes. That is so true. And this, you know, this podcast is really to inspire the listeners, to allow, you know, women across the country to hear about individuals like yourself and the other speakers that will be on the show, because they can take this information and say, hey, look, you know, I initially thought that I had to be in a certain place to make it. But when I heard such and such speaking about her story, that I kind of aligned with that. And I was inspired by how she made lemons in the lemonade. Just something just that simple. Because a lot of people don't know their talents. They don't know that where you are today could really make a change for tomorrow. That, like, your legacy is something that is built every day. It's written every single day. Even when it evolves, even when it changes, even when it shifts, even when somebody try to break it, even when somebody try to throw things around in it, throw a monkey in the wrench, all of that. Our legacies are being written every single day. Every single day. So I'm hoping that, you know, when you guys listen to this episode, that you take in some of the, you know, the positive energies, the affirmations, the confirmation, all of that, as Miss Hughes was saying, to kind of push through this week, push through the rest of the year, push through the next year, push through the year after that. And, you know, just kind of going to try to close out a little bit, because don't want to be on here too long, but hey, we can talk all day. Couple announcements before we do get off, and you guys are going to get a special little nugget at the end from Queen Vonda. She has something very special for you all. But before we get off, Miss Couture, do you have anything that's going on this week that, you know, the listeners, especially if they're in the Jackson area, could, you know, participate in or be a part of?
I most definitely do. At the beginning of the year, I launched a new open mic platform called The Word Well, and it stems from the scripture of, he who drinks from the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again.
Yes.
And so it's basically an inspirational open mic. So if you sing, you spit poetry, you're a storyteller or a rapper, or you just want to come and give your testimony about how awesome it is to still be among the land of the living, pursuing our dreams and being the best version of ourselves, the Word Well is definitely a place for you to check out on Thursday night. It's weekly,
yes,
so you can catch it every week at 7 o'clock. Sign up is at 6:30. It's $5 entry. But you'll be blessed to come and just hear young people and young at heart sharing their nuggets of wisdom with one another, women in the faith, brothers in the faith, and just our community really just coming together to pour into one another and help each other be better than what we were. Give you a little extra something before the weekend on Sunday when you get to church.
Awesome. And you heard that, $5. Y'all can go to Subway. Y'all can come to the open mic. That was $5 foot long. Y'all had the $5 boxes at the Popeyes. Y'all talked about those. So y'all can show up to the church house and get some spiritual nurturing. And, you know, network and kind of talk to individuals. Because something about, like, religion now, especially in the churches, is that, you know, it's... Of course, your sermons are wonderful. But now art, because of the spheres of influence, we need to change that. That, like, you know, a lot of times...
That's actually kind of what mm-hmm. this avenue was, that I was talking with the bishop at that Kingdom Life Church. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, you know, I want to do an open mic. We have a lot of people who are not in church anymore. Not just the youth, just people in general. And mm-hmm. it's because they're tired of tradition. Mm-hmm. Something real. Something mm-hmm. that they can relate to, something that hits home, where they don't feel like they have to literally bring God with them, otherwise they're not going to feel the Spirit, kind of thing.
Cool.
So it's just an alternative to get people back close to God, because you can have religion all day, but if you don't have your faith in the Word,
amen.
It's dead.
Amen.
You can have religion all day, but if you don't have a relationship with God, is dead. And so the way to get back to a truth that you can live with and stand on is when you come to the well where you thirst no more, where you actually quench your thirst mm-hmm. weekly for God.
You hear that now? Not just Sprite. You got it, Sprite. You know, they say quench your thirst with a little Sprite. Got the Lord. So, and I'm gracious to have you on this episode. I really am. I really, really am. And also, I guess I want to kind of throw my little shameless plug in. I'm actually going to be speaking on Friday to class at Murr High School. So, you guys are in for a treat if you do attend Murr High School. And if it's anybody that would like for me to come to their class, you can just follow me on social media page, send a message, see what my schedule looks like. I don't mind coming. I talk about many of things, so just have to kind of just hit me up and let me know. And before we, you know, close out again, Ms. Couture, I want you to, you know, leave your social media account so I can also include in the show notes how to follow you.
Definitely. You can catch me on Facebook, Katora Hughes, or you can find me on Instagram. That's The Voice, DAVOICEPQ, of course, for Purple Queen. You'll find me on Instagram. And you can catch me out in the city, singing at different venues. If you've ever been to Last Call or you've been to Synergy Nights, if you've been to Fourth and Home. I recently just did a performance at the Tomb City Museum downtown for MLK Night of Culture, along with sharing the stage with other people like Bottom of the Sea and Jules, Miranda Hicks. Savannah Wills, like, the list goes on. It was a phenomenal show if you missed it. But you can go and see it on my page because everybody was recording going live. But no, just get out in your community. Get out in your community. You'll be surprised who's waiting for the real you to show up. So take a chance on you and show
me. I agree. I so wholeheartedly agree. And also, if you're not following the social media pages for Empower Her Podcast, We're both on Instagram and Facebook. Before I close out, just again want to thank you, Ms. Hughes, and I thank the listeners. Hope you guys continue to subscribe to the show. Hey, give as many stars as you like, any comments, requests, etc. I'm open for it all. We're just finishing episode number 2. Hope you guys enjoy the nugget and have a great night.
Have a great night.
Bye. Hope you guys enjoy the nugget.
Hi, here is another Power Nugget. We see in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, when Christ, our Lord, was hungry, and he came upon a fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. Here is the principle. If you remain at the stage of potential, you will never reach the stage of productivity. We have to produce and manifest all that Almighty God Yahweh has placed in us to produce. When those that are hungry come into our presence, they will be fed by our fruit.